This is Green Seas, the podcast by Tradewinds about sustainability and the business of the ocean. I'm Eric Priante-Martin. Last week, we talked to a shipping company that's going big on ammonia as a future fuel for its fleet. And this week, we're looking at another that's going even bigger. It's Euronav, soon to be known as CMB Tech. I caught up with Belgian shipping executive Alexander Savries as he continued what's been a mission for some time now, taking a tanker company, Euronav, and reinvesting cash from fossil fuels transportation into a greener future. We've talked about this ambitious plan in a previous episode. Euronav, to be rebranded CMB Tech, is now on a path to eventually have 150 ships that it aims to power by hydrogen for the smaller ones and ammonia for the long-haul vessels. Now, shareholders in Euronav have not been willing to go along for the ride. This week, the company announced that 75% of the investors that were not the Savories family's Compagnie Maritime Belge, or CMB, have sold off their positions in a tender offer. But Alexander Savories said the plan is full speed ahead. I met with Savories during a recent visit to New York at a Capital Link forum before the tender offer closed to ask him about how he's going to accomplish the plan, especially since ammonia is not ready for prime time as a shipping fuel. To start off, I wanted him to look back to tell me when was the aha moment when he realized ammonia was the way to go. He said CMB first looked at liquefied natural gas, or LNG, several years ago, but concerns about methane emissions turned the company against that option.
And in 2016, we decided to build a small ship, a passenger ship on the river in Antwerp, and decided to test hydrogen on that ship. And when we saw it worked in a dual fuel engine, so diesel, hydrogen, that was our big aha moment where we said, well, this molecule can really be a solution for shipping. But then the next moment came when we realized that you need to compress the hydrogen and put it on board, so it takes a lot of space. And we realized, well, actually hydrogen works for small ships that can refuel frequently, every day or every 2 days. So what's then the fuel if you cannot do that, if you need to sail from Brazil to China, from Europe to Africa? And that's when we started looking into ammonia, because it's a fantastic hydrogen carrier. You can carry it, it takes less space, and it's totally carbon free.
So let's explain that a bit. At the heart of ammonia's promise as a fuel is that you can make it from hydrogen produced in a renewable way. Hydrogen takes up a lot of space, and you can solve that either by pressurizing it or liquefying it. Or you can use chemistry. But chemistry, in many ways, is the easier option, turning the hydrogen into more energy-dense ammonia. Other companies in shipping are going for methanol as an alternative fuel that can also be produced from green hydrogen. But it has a problem. It has carbon in its molecule, unlike ammonia. But here's the rub. Savories acknowledged that Euronav, the future CMB Tech, is investing in ammonia fueling before there's enough ammonia to fuel all those vessels all the time. The company's vision doesn't mean that ships that can run on ammonia will always do so.
On sourcing the molecules, we're not there yet, so a lot of work has to be done, and on the bunkering infrastructure is the same. But that doesn't mean you shouldn't do anything. There are places in the world with customers where you could already start a certain trade even before the fuel and the bunkering infrastructure is available worldwide. And that's why we believe in it, and that's why we've invested so much in ammonia-fueled ships, because we believe there are certain trade lanes with certain customers we can already get started.
As an example, his company is working with Norsea Container Line and chemical company Yara International, which has an ammonia business, to deploy an ammonia-fueled container ship between Germany and Norway. And CMB has some experience with producing green fuels. It knows that it won't be an easy ride.
Well, we learned a lot, because about the production of fuels, the only thing you see nowadays is PowerPoint presentations and a lot of discussions and talk. It's by doing it that we learned some good things, but also some bad things. If you want to hear some bad things about producing green molecules, it's the technology really still needs to be developed tremendously on the electrolyzers, for instance. People promise technology which today is not yet available at a sufficiently large scale. But the good news is, it does work. You can produce green fuels with seawater, with renewable electricity, and with electrolyzers. So there's a clear pathway to producing these clean fuels at a large scale. And our strategy is basically centered around two things. On the one hand, we'll produce it ourselves. And on the other hand, we'll work together with other people that produce them and give them offtake agreements.
CMB invested in a project in Namibia that will produce 200,000 tons per year of ammonia if all the vessels now on order by Euronav are delivered in 2026 and 2027. It will need twice that to fill them.
But that, Eric, is if we want to burn 100% ammonia. The energy transition in shipping will go through a phase where you do not burn 100% clean fuels from day one. You will do 5%, 10%, 15%, 20%, and then gradually build it up. So then, in a way, in 2026, 2027, we will have sufficient molecules for our fleet.
After all of these vessels are dual fuel. They'll be able to run on ammonia some of the time and on conventional marine fuels for the remainder. For example, if you want to reduce your emissions by 20%, you could just sail on ammonia for enough of the time to achieve that. Before continuing our conversation with Savories, I wanted to check in on the status of ammonia as a fuel. I met up with Knut Orbeck Nielsen, who's chief executive of classification society DNV Maritime, which advises shipping companies on the technical solutions as the industry faces regulatory pressure to decarbonize. And he told me that the technical readiness of ammonia depends on what you compare it to. Sure, it's less ready to be deployed on ships than alternatives like LNG and methanol, but there are other things that are further away.
It's both a technical issue with the engines. Engines needs to be, you know, developed and available. And then there's also the regulatory issues that also needs to be ready and available. And then, of course, with ammonia, it's more toxic, more hazardous in that way. So you also need to make precautions on board that really take care of that toxicity in order to, you know, prevent any sort of fatalities. So I would say that compared to, for instance, nuclear, it's more ready, but it still needs some more work before we can actually, you know, really implement it on board.
On the regulatory side, he said the current rules won't stop ammonia-fueled ships from hitting the water, but he said regulatory mechanisms need to be made more suitable for using the fuel without going through additional bureaucratic hurdles compared to the alternatives. That will allow use of ammonia to scale up. When I asked him what role he thinks ammonia will play in shipping's future, he said it's one of the many options that must be kept on the table.
Because the amount of better fuels that we will need is significant, especially if we want to meet the 2040 and the 2050 targets of the IMO. And then we cannot sort of exclude any option. So ammonia has a great potential to be, say, 100% carbon free. But that is still, say, a long way to go on the production, the infrastructure side, as is with many of the other alternatives. So, I'm very much, keen to develop all the different solutions. And some solutions will be more fitting for some trades and some geographies and some ship types than others. So let's move ahead with all of them and not try to shoot anyone down at this stage.
Of course, Euronav is going for ammonia, in addition to hydrogen, in a big way. As we've talked about in a previous episode, Savories wants the future CMB Tech to be an investable green shipping company with a fleet spanning multiple sectors in the industry.
Well, investable means a couple of things. First, we want to be sizable, meaning large market cap, large balance sheet, and sufficient liquidity so that people can trade in and out of our stock. Investable also means that a good part of our fleet is covered with cash flows. When we say we want to be a reference in green shipping, we want customers to be able to come to us and give us 5 to 10 year charters so that there's visibility on our cash flows. That's also investable. Investable also means being diversified. We think the time of pure plays is over. Today, being diversified is a much more sound strategy, we believe, meaning you are not forced to only invest in one segment. You can basically surf the different cycles, and when tankers are boiling hot and you see opportunities in containers, that's what you then can do. That's also what we mean with investable. And then investable, I think, is a good and clear and simple strategy.
Although we spoke just before many investors elected to exit stage left from this plan, Savory's was clear that remaining in the capital markets and being a company listed on a stock exchange is part of the long game. He'll need investors eventually if he's going to carry out the ambitious plans, but not right away. After all, Euronav sold its biggest tankers for more than $2.35 billion to Norwegian shipping tycoon John Fredriksen.
Even though the company, after the sale of 24 VLCCs to John Fredriksen, we have a lot of cash at hand. We are fully funded on our new building program. There are no immediate cash needs. Going forward, if we are successful, we are convinced that we will need to have access to capital markets, whether that's on the equity side or on the debt side. So we think being a listed vehicle in this energy transition, which is going to be very capital intensive, is a big advantage.
As our interview neared its end, Savory's took a moment to note that shipping's greenhouse gas footprint has not been decreasing of late. And he said momentum on decarbonizing this industry seems to have slowed.
And we know why. Finally, we're making money. That's one of the reasons, I think, and people are enjoying the good times. But I also think there's more uncertainty in the world, not only in geopolitics, but also on the pathway and the various regulations to decarbonizing the various industries. And I feel with my fellow ship owners that there's been a bit of a hesitation to continue to go full speed ahead. And I truly hope that 24 and 25 will put some more vigor and more energy into making sure that this energy transition in shipping becomes a reality.
But you don't seem to be hesitating.
No. We go full speed ahead, Eric.
Read more about sustainability in shipping at tradewindsnews.com/sustainability and sign up for the Green Seas newsletter at tinyurl.com/greenseas. Music for this episode is by Alex Grohl from Pixabay.